Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in. Welcome back to another edition of Leaving Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Mr. Gabriel Montoya. Oh, I'm sorry about that, guys, real quick. I pressed the wrong button here on Leaving the Ring. But anyways, we got a lot of boxing here to talk about on Leaving the Ring. We got the big fight coming up this weekend with Manny Pacquiao. I think Gabriel Montoya is wrestling a grizzly bear in the background. Gabriel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out these weird headphones you gave me.
He's wrestling with a grizzly. Yeah, I can hear you really good and stuff. Anyways, Chris Algieria is going to be stepping in with Manny Pacquiao in China, Macau. Big step up for him. We've talked about this fight a few months back when it was announced. But obviously, things always change when you start analyzing stuff. I don't know what my partner's pick is. I haven't had a chance to tune in to a lot of stuff, man. I've been really, really busy with work and other things that are coming up in the later months, especially the holidays are now falling on us, and as well as rain. So I hope everybody's enjoying this week. Us, ourselves here in Northern California, we've been rained on for the past couple of days. But if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Don't forget to download the Leaving the Ring app to your phone so you can call into the show directly from the app here. But we're going to start we'll start opening up the phone lines in a short bit here, maybe within 10, 15 minutes. Let them all stack up here on the board. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to break down this future Saturday, with Manny Pacquiao, Pac-Man himself, and getting in with Chris Algieria, who Chris has been getting tons and tons and tons of press. And it's funny, more and more people that I speak to about this fight, a lot of people, surprisingly, are not giving Pac a chance in this fight. They think that he's going to be kind of blown out. Gabe, I'll let you shine on that one first, brother. What do you think?
You know, it's a tough fight, and it's, you know, I've been leaning towards Algieri since this thing got started, and since the fight was announced. I like the style, but you know, it was something about the hard sell. I mean, I noticed this. I remember Steve Kim would always point this out to me in L.A. And we were both working the boxing beat at the same time, and I was, you know, down there at the gyms or whatever, and it's the hard sell. It's like when dudes are like, you got to see my prospect, man. This kid's best. He's got this, this, that, the other thing. And dudes just won't leave you alone. And, you know, it's always the hard sell of the guy that you haven't really seen, that doesn't really stick out to you. Nobody's really talking about, but this person kind of hired to, you know, in some regard, a trainer or a PR person. And 9 times out of 10, that person ends up being, you know, not all that. And Algieri was a hard sell to us. Years ago, we had him on, even in the ring, I think when he was with Mario Serrano. That was his publicist.
And yeah.
We had him on. It was a fight I don't think anybody was even going to see. I'm not sure if it was a TV fight, but or maybe it was a Showbox card. And we got him on, and it was a great interview. He was a nice guy. But, you know, we weren't quite sure about what he is. And I look at this promotion, and maybe it's because Pacquiao is overseas. Maybe it's because... and he's playing basketball and doing his thing over there. Maybe it's because he's not the greatest quote in the world. But it's been all Algieri all the time. It's a, you know, top ranks PR people are calling it the Chris Algieri show. And so I wonder, you know, it makes me skeptical when everything's going that way. He started out as like a 14-1 dog. Now he's like down to 8. I think it's actually getting down to, he's down to like plus 450 now. So people are really starting to put money on him. And it just always makes me skeptical. I mean, did Pacquiao look terrible in camp or something? I mean, Justin Fortune says this is the best he's ever looked or looked in years, and saying that, you know, expect the Pacquiao of old. He's looking like he's having a good time. He's enjoying camp. He seems relaxed. He's singing. So I wonder, you know, what is the truth here? Is this like Elvis in Vegas, you know, kind of big contract in Macau? He's making good money, but it's not really Elvis. It's fat Elvis, you know. It's not fat Pacquiao. But is it, you know, what's left of him, or it's what's You know, does he still have something left, or are they just selling, you know, the ghost of Manny Pacquiao? What's what remains of him? I mean, he looks fresh. Don't get me wrong; he doesn't look like a shot fighter. But I think these are legitimate questions when you go into this fight. But that said, if you're trying to prop somebody up and make him look good, you know, make Pacquiao look good, I can't think of a worse style than Chris Algieri. Can you?
It's a bad style. I mean, not just. I think there's a lot of variables here when you start talking about Chris, you know, the height, the fact that he moves, the fact that he knows how to maintain his weight, the fact that he could take a punch. He proved that he could take a punch. The other thing is that this kid is hungry. You could see it. You could see it right there. And the world championship, I don't think it's really going to affect him. Because he's been a world champion. He was a kickboxer, you know, which is a completely different sport, but still it's a contact sport. You know, what I think may be affecting him, and don't get me wrong, listen, I'm really happy that we're starting to see certain fighters take on guys they normally wouldn't take on. But you always see this at the tail end of their career. This is not a new thing. This is a pattern. In terms of guys that have been on top, when they start kind of sliding away and fading into the abyss of we kind of forgot about him, they start taking on bigger and tougher fights. That being said, Chris Algieri is a good fighter. We don't know where he's exactly is at. And I'll go back my original thought was was the only thing that bothers me, and I don't know about anybody else this, but I got to tell you this. I like Chris, but, dude, of late, he's been getting on my nerves. You know, I don't know what it is. It's just every time I hear about him, every time I see him, I just kind of go like, eh, and I change it. Like, I just don't want to hear about him right now. I think they've kind of saturated the market of putting his face and kind of shoving it down our throats before the fight even happened. Even the Ruslan Pronopkov fight, it's kind of been shoved down our throat. Now, this is what I had to break down about this. And originally, I picked Chris. I was on the Chris train. And I watched the Pronopkov fight, I don't know, about 20 times. And I keep watching it. And the one thing that I noticed is that Chris looked good against Ruslan. But it's Ruslan who's slow, who doesn't have the greatest footwork in the world, who will follow you and never adjust. And the only thing that he has going on for him is that he's a grit guy, and he can throw a hell of a punch. Other than that, you could rule him out of any other fight out there for him, because the only thing he's going to be coming in really is the determination he has behind him and the big punch. And Chris was able to handle that and take that one key thing that Ruslan had, the one key thing that Ruslan has to rely on every time he steps in the ring, and that's that power. And he was able to take that away. With Manny Pacquiao, he's going to see a lot of diverse in there. Manny's quick. He has quick hands. He's quick on his feet. He's in and out, and he could take a punch. Granted, he did got knocked out by Juan Marquez, but he's been punched by other big guys as well. Where Chris doesn't have a punch. He doesn't. There's not a whole lot of power there behind him. So that makes me wonder even more. How is he going to adjust to a southpaw? How is he going to adjust to a guy that comes in and out? How is he going to adjust to a guy that is going to throw not just one or two or three punches, but four to six? Now, when Chris opened up with Ruslan, there was a safety mode there because he knew he could see the punches coming. After he adjusted them and after he started to see what Ruslan can do, he was able to do exactly what needed to be done, which is throw his punches and get out of there. I'm not quite sure he's going to be able to do something like that with Manny Pacquiao, Gabriel. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. It's that's what I mean. The more I look at it, you know, at first I'm like, oh, it's a terrible style matchup for Manny, and it is. And it's not going to be easy. I think this is going to show where Chris is at. And I think, you know, when it's all said and done, I think he's going to be, you know, kind of go through the fire a bit and be shown once again as a worthy fighter, a worthy challenger. Some people didn't think he won the Ruslan fight, which I don't see. I saw a guy outboxing another guy and getting docked for not having power. It's not part of the criteria here. But in this fight, yeah, Manny, for one, is a lefty. He's shifty. He knows how to – I think that knockout may have been kind of a good thing for him, you know, against Marquez. And that he's learned to be a little cautious. He's learned to mind his defense at all times, not walk himself into traps. And also to remember the footwork of kind of shifting in and out, but also moving his head a lot. Manny is a lot shiftier than people give him credit for. I think he's vulnerable to attack when he's punching, but you're also kind of worrying about getting hit. So, no, I think this is a tough fight. I don't think it's a gimme by any means, but and I think Algieri is a guy that can adjust and move. And obviously, as he showed, like he was kind of getting down in the beginning. He was out boxing Provodnikov, but he stood in one place too long. I just wonder, you know, I mean, all those punches, you know, when he, you know, his volume punching against Provodnikov equal a close win against Pacquiao? I don't think it does. I mean, I think he's going to be throwing a lot of volume, but he's going to be hitting a lot of air and getting hit in between at times. And it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, if what happens if Provodnikov is the heavier puncher because he sits on his punches a little bit more than Pacquiao, who kind of tends to be moving and walks you into explosive shots. What happens if he does hit Algieri and nothing happens? Then we've got a fight where it is just going to be a boxing match. And, you know, it's not like Manny Pacquiao hasn't lost a boxing match in his life. So it's a very intriguing fight. I tend to think that Manny's power is for real at this weight, that he's going to do some damage, and that he's going to be able to be explosive throughout the fight. I'm going with him by close decision.
I tell you what makes it even more interesting is that, you know, if you make comparisons of pure boxers that Manny stepped in, you know, Timothy Bradley's one of them, okay? That first fight, Bradley tried to follow what Wamamar Marquez had done prior to the knockout, which was to be the counterpuncher. Set him up, suck him in, out, speed him with combinations, and then get out of there. But always use that big money punch that Manny's always been easy to catch. Because for some reason, Freddie and him have not really figured out how to get away from the right hand. But the thing is that those guys were smaller men, where Manny's gloves are going to be right in front of his face, was right in front of his face. So sometimes if you're in a ring, and I don't know if this happens to everybody, but when you spar somebody and they're the kind of equal height with you, if your gloves are high, you're kind of blocking your vision of seeing what's going to come at them. When I've watched Manny fight taller guys, it seems like it's been easier for him to fight taller guys. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's a bigger target there for him to hit. And that's one of the things I'm wondering. Now, style matchup, I think you're right. It is a terrible matchup. But is it really? Because he's going to have a guy that's willing to open up and trade with him, not shell up on him the way like a Joshua Kalati did. And I think that's going to help out Manny in a lot of ways. Is when Chris opens up, it's going to give him the opportunity to land some combinations. And if Chris can't hurt him and Manny feels that, I think he turns up the heat a little bit more. And I think that's why, too, Freddie has been kind of eyeing that because they knew they weren't going to outmuscle Brandon Rios. But could they outmuscle Chris Algieri? That's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's going to be a stoppage, but I think we're going to have a very interesting pay-per-view fight on our hands with this main event, but I'm going to have to sway with Manny Pacquiao. I think he takes a split decision on this one. Fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-79. I'm sorry, 7598, you certainly can. Or you can tweet us, ask us a question, or tell us your prediction, and we'll be posting it on Friday night on YouTube, on the Leaving the Ring YouTube channel. I'm sorry, I'm reading Gabriel's text. He forgets that we're on the radio, and he continues to talk to me. Anyway,
look,
Jesse Vargas is on
that.
Supposed
to read that when I'm talking.
Right.
For 4 years, we figured it out how to distract each other.
Always.
You know,
always,
I just think it's going to get extended, you know, this fight. I don't see a knockout. I just, you know, I think Algieri kind of understands what he has to do. I mean, maybe Manny gets it, but I just tend to think that Chris is going to try to keep this a distance fight. I mean, that's going to be the key. That was, to me, the key of the Provodnikov fight was the jab of Algieri. And most people will say, you know, you need the straight right only to defeat a southpaw. And I don't agree with that. A good jab from a right-handed fighter is actually that shoulder's closer to a southpaw than it would be otherwise. You know, you're fighting a mirror image of yourself. So I think he dominates, you know, with the jab. If he can do that, keep Manny, and if that punch is enough, he can maneuver Manny into things and walk him into punches all night. I can see that's what's so intriguing about this fight is that, you know, his inexperience, Algieri's at the weight and just in general at the world class level, makes me go, you know, it's tough. I mean, how many guys have walked in their first pay per view and won, you know, against a guy that generally wins on pay per view? It doesn't really happen. But at the same time, his dimensions and things and his belief in himself, it makes me wonder, you know, because I mean, Manny has been outboxed before, you know, but it was also hotly contested, you know, with Marquez. So we're going to see, are we seeing, you know, a taller guy fight like a Marquez kind of fight and be successful? I don't know. We're going to find out who Algieri is. To me, that's what makes this very real. This isn't like me going, well, I've seen Marcos Maidana be beaten before and tamed, you know, can he beat the best fighter in the world? Like, we already knew. With Algieri, we don't know. You know, and with the Bradley fight, we didn't know either. This is
big,
know,
stage.
You could say what you want about matchmaking,
right,
but Manny's fighting relevant dudes that are undefeated, and that should be, that's what makes this alone makes this a worthwhile pay per view.
And a stylistic that actually is very intriguing. It's you're going to have a good match. This is a good fight. Big lights, big stage, in China. Chris Algieri is going to find out a little bit more about himself stepping into that ring, because here's another thing too is we, you know, there's a lot of questions we needed to be answered. Obviously, when he stepped in with Ruslan, we found out if he got hurt and dropped, does he have the heart to get up? Could he be like a Mauricio Herrera? Obviously, he answered that. This is why he's got this fight. But here's the other thing. In terms of the way he's being treated by the media, the way he's being pushed, to now look at as a brand new fresh face for boxing, could that some way affect his fighting style? Could that mean, because you got to remember, Timothy Bradley was an established fighter already. We knew what we had from Timothy. We knew that he was not going to try to go in there and be stupid. We knew that he was going to go in there and try to be the counterpuncher. We knew that he could adjust. We just knew that he fought himself in between that and some of the big fights. With Chris, does he go in there believing he's the superstar already that's been made, and the way the promotion has been kind of drilled for the fans and the casual fans to kind of witness? Does he go in there, throw away his boxing skills, and try to give us an everlasting performance so that he can now later say, I am pay-per-view worthy? That's going to be interesting. I'm not really sure. Fight fans, you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Let's talk some boxing here on Leaving the Ring. We're going to talk about Jesse Vargas stepping in with Antonio DeMarco. He's on the undercard in China, on the undercard of Pacquiao in Algeria. But let's pack in some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring really quick. Let's go with area code 310. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing well. Just wanted to let you know this is the second time I've been listening to your show. Great show, great analogy of you guys. I love the show. I want to give you guys my point of view regarding to the fight. I actually think that the fight, you know what, there's three factors here. First factor is, what's the size of the ring that they're fighting?
Good question.
That is a good question.
That is a good question.
I need to ask somebody.
Second deal is here is that Freddie Roach has already encountered this individual. So he knows the talent that he has with Manny Pacquiao. So he knows that he didn't capture great moments. Well, he being Provnikov, that Manny would have caught immediately. You know, we're talking about angles and the footwork. Manny's footwork, you got to give it to him. The guy can move. He moves like a fish, man. So if Provnikov was able to catch him with his punches, and we know the speed difference, I think Manny Pacquiao is going to capitalize. In the beginning, like everyone saw the way Algeria was fighting against Provnikov, he looked really good. He looked really nice. I mean, he was the underdog. He really did what he was supposed to do to get this fight, right? But with that being said, he's no Manny Pacquiao. I mean, even though Manny Pacquiao has declined, and I give him credit for taking this fight, which he had to take this fight because Marquez took the Alvarado fight instead of the Brandon Rios, which Brandon lost to Alvarado. you know, Manny took the easier way out. He fought Alvarado. I'm sorry, he fought Brandon. We know that was a match made in heaven for him. So with Marquez stepping up and deciding to take the Alvarado fight and beating Alvarado, Manny Pacquiao had to fight someone decent now, which is now a jury. But with that being said, I think that I actually think Manny Pacquiao might catch this Algeri within the seventh or eighth round.
You know what, man?
What do you guys think?
I got to tell you this. You know what? I'm not going to argue with that, because here's my question to everybody that's listening and that's on right now. In the fight with Pronomikov with Algeri, what was the number one defense that he used? Was it head movement, or was it backpedaling and getting out of the way of punches being thrown?
It was backpedaling. I personally think it was backpedaling.
Right. So that's why he was getting punched. There was really no shoulder roll. There was really no going underneath the punches. There was really no slipping. What he did, and he knew he can get away with, was spinning off of those ropes and walking around and then coming
and going
back in.
Because jab,
he,
too.
Exactly.
And coming
because
back to the jab.
Knew.
He kept just resetting for his jab the whole fight. I mean, he got caught because he got caught in between – caught in between punches with a nice hook, which is what you do with a guy that's faster than you. Pravodnikov is beautiful. Through that left catches him. The second one, remember, was a welcome to professional big time boxing for Algeri. That first round, gets caught with that hook after thinking probably for the first minute and a half he's doing good. He's in there, I'm boxing with this guy, I can handle this. Boom, I'm down on the floor. And then he kind of panics, getting hit again, takes a knee, which actually was very, very smart. It shows a lot of prescience there.
Right.
Presence of mind. But I see your point. If a slow dude can hit you in between, you know, what is Manny going to do? It's going to be...
Especially with the angles that he throws his punches. I mean, that's...
Right,
that's,
yeah.
Even, I mean, the only reason Marquez, I think, versus Tito Pacquiao is because I truly believe Marquez is probably the second best counterpuncher there is in boxing. First being, I know that you guys, and I've heard your show is Mayweather. And I know how you guys feel about money, but... But I think the second best counterpuncher
might be there too.
Who's that? I'm sorry.
Rigondeaux might be right there too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes, I'm sorry. Without a doubt, yes, absolutely. But you know, this is going to be an interesting fight. I think this fight is good, opposed to the crappy fights we've been having. I mean, it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be very, 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 very difficult for Algeri to win. Not only because of who the opponent, which is Manny, but where they're fighting. You know, I just don't see China giving him a decision. He has to pretty much beat Manny. You know, there's just no way. There's no way.
Exactly. There's no way they're going to kill off Godzilla in China. It's just not going to happen. Hey, brother. Thanks for calling. We didn't catch your name. What was your name?
Oh yeah. Hi. My name is Mario Garcia. I'm actually. I know you guys are not too fond of my cousin Mikey, but my cousin Mikey Garcia. You know, I'm. With the Garcias, just, you know, my family members. But
I got nothing against Mikey. You know,
I was happy to hear your boy Carvajal saying that he enjoyed him as a fighter. I was very excited to hear that. That's actually the first that I heard.
I made sure to pass it on Twitter. I don't know if they're fond of me or not, but I wanted Mikey to hear that. Because that's, dude, I mean, to have somebody like Michael Carvajal say, that's my dude, you know. Like,
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
That's phenomenal.
Well, thank you, guys.
Phenomenal.
I'll make sure that I follow up with you guys every week, man. I enjoy the show. I mean, you guys are legit, man, and I admire what you guys are doing, because you guys are being the voice for us fans, you know, and you know, you guys are just going to get bigger and stronger, fellas. Once again, this is Mario Garcia, man. Take care, fellas.
Hey, thanks,
right,
brother.
Man. Thank you so much.
All right,
appreciate
man.
It.
Fight fans, you want to call in, you certainly can. 347-215-7598. We got the phone lines open. Let's patch in another caller. We're going to go down the line of who's been on hold the longest. Let's go with, I believe, we got CT. What's up, brother? You're on live with us.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How you doing, brother?
Doing pretty good. I think you guys nailed it right on the head with Algeri. I think what some people are giving him a chance is because of his physical attributes. You know, he's tall. He has a long reach. But I think you nailed it on the head, Dave, and you too, Gabe. He's a tall fighter, but I don't think his leg movement is as good as people are trying to make it seem. He's tall, but he kind of fights short in a sense. You know what I mean? Then what he did against Pravnikov, which I saw, is he kept spinning the same way throughout the whole fight. And Pacquiao's the type of guy, he closed distance very fast with his foot speed. And I think along with the angles and his combinations and hand speed, I don't see you know, Algeri reading his rhythm too much as he did Provnikov. I see Pacquiao knocking him down a few times in this fight. And because of the firepower, I don't think he's going to have Pacquiao guessing anything, you know, for any type of firepower to come back to keep him guessing. I think Pacquiao's going to feel his punches, and Pacquiao's going to know moving angles and get inside. And what I saw what Algeri did also wrong is he put the earmuffs on and he kind of dipped down and leaned back against the ropes. I think that's all wrong when you find somebody like Pacquiao with those combinations. I think he's going to get some punches through and he's going to hurt Algeri real bad in this fight. I can see a late round stoppage.
You know, I wonder if they've done any work, you know, I mean, in terms of looking at Algeri's body, seeing that he is the much taller guy, but seeing that he likes to use those legs. And he's, you know, he's not a thick frame guy. He's a fit, tall, thin guy. And to me, if I'm looking at that and I got the shorter guy going after a dude that likes to use his legs, I'm going to have my guy continuously do combinations from the body back to the head over and over. Did you see? You know, we know he's a good conditioned guy. We know that he has that. He knows how to condition himself. He knows what to put in his body. But you could do as many sit-ups and whatever you have to do in regimens to tighten up your stomach. But we all know, no matter what you do, your stomach is always going to have a soft spot, and that sweet spot is for the fighter to find. Manny's got to look for that. I'm really curious if they're going to do any type of tactic in terms of attacking the body to slow down the legs of Algeria.
Yeah, I like the fact that you guys brought up, too. Like, he's not a defensive fighter as far as dip shots and weaves, punches, and stuff like that. I like that you guys brought that up, too. I also noticed that he's not like a Mayweather type, you know, the way Mayweather and even Bradley, for in a sense, the way they kind of like, they have a hop step to their movement. And he's kind of more of a guy who twists and turns and pivots. He's not like a very lateral type moving type fighter that I see. That's why I'm picking Pacquiao to really hurt this guy late.
There you go, CT, man. You got to follow him on Instagram. You got to see one of the pictures posted up there, bro. It's my favorite. I want to keep tapping hard over and over and over, dude, but it just doesn't happen me, man. I was like,
I know.
I'm a little scared. You got to get on there, Gabe. I'm telling you, you're missing out on a lot of
great
pictures.
I'm on there, but it's
pictures.
Like just an empty... an empty ship just kind of floating. I'm on there. You can find me. I've got like 12 followers or something. I'll stick with my 10,000 on Twitter. I'm good.
Yeah, I know. You outweigh me on both of them. But, hey, CT, thanks for calling in, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
CT. Let's keep going down the line. You guys want to call in, you certainly can. 347-215-7598. Pacquiao, Algeri in China. We're talking it. We're breaking it down. Callers are calling in and giving in their input. Let's keep going. Let's go with area code 708. You're on live right now on Leaving Ring. Who are we speaking to?
This is David from Chi-Town.
What's up, Dave from Chi-Town?
What's up,
how
man?
You doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. Hey, Gabe, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you always keeping it real from the knowledge and the passion for the sport, man. Anyway, a couple comments on Algeri. First of all, I think he did score a legit win of Provodnikov. I did think that he showed a lot of skill, a lot of boxing skills. I think that his feet are fine. I do agree with you. It's the torso and the head movement that he doesn't have. And I think that's what's going to – man, he's going to track him down. He's going to be – his speed, his punches is much more than Provodnikov. I think when he whacked him in the first round, he kind of – saw that big eye, and he kind of went headhunting, and he abandoned his body punching. So I think even providing Kopp with slower hands, he still could have taken him out if he did the body punching. Man, he's going to be smarter than that. He's got greater hand speed. He's going to track him down, hit him to the body and the head. And I think he's going to – Algeri's going to be game, but he's not going to have enough for Manny. Besides Algeri's lack of head movement and torso, I think – Manny, he seems to be rededicated physically. I haven't seen him look this good in years in terms of not just being cut up, but fluid. It seems like he's got a new fountain of youth, and I think he's going to whack him out. I don't think it'll be early, but I think he's going to whack him out and setting up new talks with the long-awaited fight that we all been wanting. Hopefully we can get a possibility of him with Mayweather, but that's contingent on him whacking him out. What do you think?
So if he beats Algeri, we're getting the fight we all wanted. Jesse Vargas versus Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, my goodness. Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so.
That's what people are – that's what the whispers are. I mean, that's some of what the PR for this fight with Antonio DeMarco has said. Manny, you know, that Vargas is in line, wow. You know, for this fight. I mean, somebody else mentioned Danny Garcia as a possibility, but, I mean, that's what – he's without him, and I don't think they're – you know, I think it'd be tough. You know, it'd be a good sign, but I don't think that Garcia that, – I don't think that fight happens. Unless, of course, Danny's one of those guys that still signed the Golden Boy and Oscar has something to say about it, then I do think that fight happens. But from what I'm told, if Jesse, you know, beats Antonio DeMarco and does it in fine fashion, he's the guy.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to Manny getting that long-awaited knockout. I think it's been quite a while, but I think this is the guy who's going to do it.
Well, we're going to find out.
You know, Roy Jones
yeah.
and Memo. He's got Roy Jones and Memo Heredia in his corner, so he's got a good shot. You know, he's got a brain trust there. You know, I don't know. We'll see. And DeMarco's not really up for the weight, right? You know,
right.
he's not really. He's with Fortune in them, but I mean, and Freddie Roach. But, you know, it's an interesting fight. I mean, I'll just say it. You know, I'm not accusing anybody. But, you know, when people – you mentioned, you know, Manny looks like he's found the fountain of youth. It should be noted that this is a VADA-tested fight.
Right.
Both guys underwent VADA testing, Algeri and Pacquiao. Now, DeMarco versus Vargas is not a VADA-tested fight from what I understand. So that's an interesting fight. I'll just leave it
at
that.
Hey, man, I appreciate the call, man. Thanks for the knowledge. You guys have a great show. Keep doing the good work.
You too,
you
brother.
Too,
thanks
man.
For calling
Thank
in.
Thank you.
All right. If you want to call in, you certainly can. 347-215-7598, or you can tweet at us at Leaving the Ring, all capital letters, LIITR, boxing, and we'll answer as soon as we can back because we're live right now. And let's keep it going. Let's keep it going down the line. Let's go with area code 915. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Yeah, what's happening, brothers? This is my second time calling in. Just want to say you guys are kick-ass at what you do. The first time I called in was the week of Donaire Walters. I don't know if you guys will remember, but I picked. I had Walters beating Donaire in the fifth round. I said I was going to be nice with him and all.
But not <That's> right.
Yeah, I told you I was accurate. All right, let's talk about the big fight, you know, Pacquiao, Algeri, you know. To me, the first thing was going to be money for Pacquiao. Is that when he moves, he did it like perfectly when he fought De La Hoya, when he slips his head to his right and he throws out that left straight. That's going to be the money shot for him. And like a lot of people are saying, and like I'm pretty sure it's going to happen too, Algeri, he's probably going to get on the bike for the first few rounds. And I heard in the previous caller what size of the ring is it. And if it's smaller than usual, I think that's going to be very tougher for Algeri. And it's going to favor for Pacquiao, of course. And he's everything that everyone said. He's a better boxer. I don't know if a lot of you have noticed, but since it's a catchweight at 144, and in my opinion, in my eyes, Pacquiao looks like the prime Pacquiao when he was whooping everybody's ass when he was in the lower weight classes, such as David Diaz, De La Hoya, for instance. He looks good. He's in shape as always. And what Algeri needs to do if he wants to have a real shot at winning this, he needs to establish that jab well really throughout the fight, and he needs to follow up on it with combinations, not with just a jab and a right. He probably finish it up with another hook or something, but he's not going to be Pacquiao running on his bike or throwing two punch combos. I know how Freddie likes to hype up stuff, like if it's WWE saying Algeri's going to go out in the first round, but hey, you know, that's the sport of boxing. It might happen.
Right.
Pacquiao might just put him down in the first round. We saw when Algeri fought Provodnikov. And you know what? I'll give credit to Algeri, man, because when he was going into that fight with Provodnikov, you know, I discovered Provodnikov when he had that tremendous fight with Bradley. Speaking of Bradley, he was on the local sports talk show today that I missed. But, you know, he said some good words from what I heard from the host. But I had Provodnikov beating Algeri, and once I saw that, when I saw that fight, when he got knocked down, especially when he took that knee, I said, you know, it's already going to be, this is about to be over soon. Algeri don't want none of Provodnikov. And then that's when he started boxing. I said, hey, you know what, this guy is pretty damn good. You know, he's got some skills, he's athletic, and he was a former kickboxing champion, if I recall.
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
two times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. exactly. So he knows Algeria knows what hard work is. The one thing that questions me is Algeria's corner. When I'm sure everyone knows this, when after he got knocked down and that eye started to close, it was as if his corner didn't want to try to treat
right.
his eye. They said fuck it, his eyes closed. Let's just leave it like that.
Right, right. That's it. It comes in with inexperience, and it also comes in, too, with the – it's a shock, you know what I mean? We've seen it numerous times. It's not because they don't have the tools with them. Well, they do, but I think what happens is some fighters and trainers, they go into shock, you know, and they panic. Fighters can do the same thing, you know. But, you know, let me point this out with the ring here. Whether it's a small ring or a big ring, I don't think it's going to matter – for Chris at all, because for me, Chris, is, if it's a small ring, it's going to force him to fight. If it's a big ring, well, if he's running, he's obviously letting the fight slip away from him because he needs to
yep.
have some type of contact with Manny in order to win over the China judges or anybody that's at that fight to judge that fight. So he's really, his back is against the wall. He's got to do something, regardless whether it's small or big. What are you going to say, Gabriel?
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think if he has a bigger ring, he has more room to reset that jab and the right hand and make Manny kind of keep having to cover distance to walk into him, if he's able to do that. But in the I do agree with you in this sense, in that people, you know, in the East Coast in the Provodnikov fight, they gave him the benefit of the doubt. They allowed him to fight his style, which was to move away, kind of set up the jab, you know, and kind of just be throwing a lot of jabs and walk you into punches and then move away and do that again. As opposed to like Manny, who's like hitting you and a quick pivot off, and he's hitting you some more and another quick pivot off. It's a different style. You know, Chris gets out to the long range. Maybe he'll hit you long, medium, you know, tie you up or move away because he doesn't do close range. And so I don't think in this fight, to your point, I don't think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt of his Algeri style of moving and resetting. As far as the eye, though, I think too often, you know, we can be – it's easy for us to be critical. I've talked to a lot of cut men. Dave, you've talked to a lot of cut men. You know, sometimes
right.
just injuries happen that you just can't get on top of because, you know, guy's eye's blowing up. You got 1 minute.
You fumble.
Really, let's
right.
call it 30 to 40 seconds to put something on it. Then he goes back out and he gets hit some more. Then he comes back and you got, you know, hopefully a little bit longer time to really get to that eye, you know, because, like, you know, he's got to walk there. You got a minute in between. So maybe 50 seconds you're dealing with. You know, I mean, I think they did as good a job as maybe they could have, considering it took a long time for that eye to heal, you know. Sometimes the guy just gets cracked wrong, you know. But I think you're right in terms of Manny's going to give them and ask them questions and give them puzzles they've never seen before. What are they going to do when that happens? Let's see.
Absolutely. Hey, brother, thanks for calling in. What was your name again?
Aaron, brother.
Aaron. All right, man. Thanks. We're going to put you back on hold, okay? Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Aaron.
No problem.
All right, fans, you want to call in, certainly can. 347-215-7598. Really quick, we're going to go to Twitter. We got Richard Cruz asks a question. He said, listen, Gabriel Montoya leaving the ring, both undergo VADA. If Pac knocks out Algeri, what happens to the Pac on Roy's talk? What happens to that talk,
I mean,
Gabriel?
If Algeri, I don't understand the question. So they're both on VADA testing.
If Pacquiao knocks out Algeri, what happens to the Roy's
talk?
Oh, I
see.
Right.
Well, I think what happens is what boxing fans always do, or, you know, and it's a partisan thing, you know, that Pacquiao fans and Mayweather fans is, I think, what we're talking about. The Mayweather fans will say, who was Chris Algeri anyways? He beat up an ESPN 2 level fighter in Provodnikov, you know, and the Bradley was, you know, nothing. And, you know, resumes can always be torn down. You know, Algeri was stopped, as a martial artist. So they'll point, no, this guy never had a chin and blah, blah, blah. I think that's what will happen. And people will always say that, you know, that freak period where Manny jumped up in weight is going to be suspect. And I, you know, considering if you followed Alex Ariza during this whole period, from the time he arrives in that camp to Manny going up in weight to De La Hoya, you know, within, like, you know, a very short period of time, like less than a year or so, and then all the accusations. I mean, here's something. You know, I'm writing this book and I'm thinking about it. Everybody always talks about the, you know, well, he stopped taking steroids for. Remember at the time they said this because Floyd brought it up, and that's why he didn't knock out Joshua Clottie. It doesn't make any sense to me because they didn't start testing for PEDs in Texas, and they really still don't until the Margarito fight, where they started doing kind of basic drug testing, not really anti-doping testing, which I'm not sure if they actually do even now. So that theory kind of goes out the window. I have my own theories about it. But I'm not going to share that yet. But, you know, with this, I mean, I think it's the only way to know if a guy's on drugs or not is to test him year-round. You can't even anymore, I think, because the game has changed and we've gotten educated to the point where guys are willing every once in a while to do this kind of in-camp stringent, you know, drug testing or anti-doping testing that goes beyond the limits of a local commission. But now, you know, Manny Pacquiao trains twice a year. So even if he does VADA twice a year, he's only fighting twice a year. So what's he doing all the rest of the time? And anybody
right.
that knows anything, we've said this at the very beginning, probably the mm-hmm. Victor Conte said this in the very first interview we did way back when.
Back in like 2010,
the fish
I think.
When they're, yeah, June 2010. That's, yeah, exactly right. He said that you got to get the fish when they're biting, and that's in the off season. People get caught in the off season. They do get caught in competition, but by and large, if you're looking for the you know the drugs that you think Manny might be on, it's probably going to be at a competition. You know, unless it's you know in Texas. So and that's just my opinion. But
probably at a pool hall.
I think you know, to answer the question, I don't think those things are ever going to go away. People always will feel that way. I don't think one win is ever going to equal, you know, see, he's you know, he's not on drugs or he wasn't back then. He hasn't had a knockout since, or a stoppage since 2009 when he stopped Cotto on cuts after dropping him early. I don't know what that means. When the guys got bigger, you know, and show me the guys that knocked out all the people that he, you know, he gets blamed for not knocking out. How many guys have knocked out Antonio Margarito? You know, Shane Mosley got a hold of him, but, well, that's a whole other issue, that fight. You know, and Joshua Clottie, how many guys knocked him out? Oh, that's right, none. It's just, you know, people are kind of ludicrous in their in the way they look at things. And they're not
well,
really,
they make it fit.
Said,
you know, yeah. Everybody... Somebody always comes up with a reason to make it fit their logic. But anyways, Fight Fan, do you want to call in?
Yeah. 347-215-7598,
certainly can. Let's go back to the switchboard here, and let's pass in some more Fight Fans. We got two callers here for 347. Actually, no, we got one now. Let's go with area code 347. You're on live right now. Who are we speaking to?
Hello, guys. This is Mike from Queens.
Mike from Queens. What's up, brother? What can we do for you?
What's going on? I know I was supposed to be excited for the big pay-per-view fight this weekend, but are you guys really even that excited for it? Like, is it must see TV this weekend in your
you know what?
Opinion?
Anytime I got to spend almost close to freaking $70, dude, I'm never excited about it. Because it's I mean, let's be honest. It's a good fight, but is it really pay-per-view worthy? No, I don't think any fight anymore nowadays is pay-per-view worthy. Super fights don't exist anymore, just like contenders don't. To answer your question, no, I'm not excited. No, I'm not really.
I mean, I'm more excited to see Lomachenko this week than I am to see Pacquiao whoop on Algeria, you know what I mean? Personally. And I just thought, another thing, I know it has nothing to do with this weekend's fights, but is anybody else tired of boxing being messed with by two guys, by one 80-year-old man and one 60-year-old guy who doesn't want to talk to the media? They don't want to sit down and talk, so basically we have to suffer. Is anybody else tired of that? Because I'm a little bit tired of it, to be totally honest with you.
Man, we had our rant last week here, Gabriel, here on Leaving the Ring Radio. I mean, you know, we get emails where some folks, they listen to us because they say we speak the truth. We're not afraid to say things on the air that everybody else avoids. But then we get a lot of emails that say that, you know, you guys are very disgruntled fans. You guys hate the sport. Then why do you even tune into the sport? But, you know, it's not that we hate the sport. We just hate the way it's being treated and the way it's functioning, you know? I mean, there's so many things in this sport that needs to be fixed. There's a matchmaker that's back in the mix. There's a promoter that shouldn't be involved. There's an advisor that shouldn't have no business having his hand in the cookie jar. I mean, I was going to leave this for my Everybody Hates Monday rant, but since you brought it up, I'm going to bring it up right now. December 12th, which is the fight that supposed to be the debut for Al Haymon and NBC. Well, the talk is that it's going to be Ronald Hearns, Thomas Hearns' son. He's going to be the headliner. How shitty could that be? You know, that's terrible. You know, I was like, what? Are you serious? This is the guy that's supposed to get us out of the dark and bring us in closer to the light? This is ridiculous. And we said this a while back when this was announced. We were going to find out how good, which we already knew on Leaving the Ring and Gable too, we already knew how good of a matchmaker, promoter, manager, advisor this guy really is. And he just keeps putting more proof there for us to read, you know, to look at and say, wow, dude, you really don't have any business in this sport. Gable, you guys see the ad?
I don't agree with people when they say I hate the sport. I mean, I think it just has some very loathsome characters in it. I think it has some terrible practices. It needs a lot of regulation. And I kind of look at it like the movie industry. It's like, I love movies. I grew up on movies same way I grew up on boxing. And the industry's got a lot of problems. And I think, you know, when you come from an intelligent place and a proactive place and a place where you say, hey, these are the actual things I would fix and this is how I would fix them, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's exactly what the show does. And I said this on the next round with Steve, you know, that I don't think that Al's going to give us his best foot forward on NBC. I don't think that that's going to happen. I think it's going to be, whatever he wants, but it's never really seems his MO doesn't seem to give us what we want. Look at the career of Floyd Mayweather. I stopped caring years ago just because it's like, he never gives me the fights I want to see. You know, when I look back on Fabulous Four, Hagler Hearns, Leonard Duran, I could at least look at them fighting all of each other several times, as opposed to with Floyd's career, you know, who he didn't fight is more interesting to me a lot of the time than who he did.
Fight.
Or,
yeah.
You know, or when he fought them, you know?
I know you guys hate, like, mainstream media, and I kind of do, too, when you hear, like, the around the horn and Skip Bayless talking about who will win Mayweather Pacquiao. But when you hear him talk about, like, what's up with the Al Haymon guy? Well, why about him is 85 years old and he's the most powerful person and one of the most powerful people in the sport? Or outside the line, instead of doing a documentary about women's cheerleading or something, how about do about the, like, what's going on in boxing?
I couldn't agree more. Look at last year, the power shift that happened. You know, New York finally getting an athletic executive director after who knows how long. I think it's the first time they've ever had one in New York. Melvina Latham has been running it like the chairman, but you know, now they have somebody that's actually in charge. And then, you know, Nevada switched over as well. You know, what about that balance of power? Like, those are things that we should know. I think boxing writers, they spend too much time. They think writing about a fight and interviewing fighters makes you a boxing writer. They're not actually covering the business. And I'm sorry, but breaking such and such fight is happening before anybody else does doesn't really cut it in my book. Why aren't you educating the fans about, you know, who's in charge of the ABC? And is the ABC, or, you know, the Association of Boxing Commissions, is that position, the president there, more powerful than the guy that runs Nevada or the guy that runs New York? And if he's not, why is that? Why don't they listen to him? How does it all work? What are the checks and balances? Why do you get fighters fighting? Years ago, Dave, when I first got on the show, when we started doing the mismatch report, and I wrote about how there was I was just repeating what, you know, Fight News had reported, and I started digging deeper with the mismatch report. But they had a bunch of fighters, like 9 fighters in a 6-month period, that were on medical suspension in other states fighting in California. Why wasn't that a bigger story? These guys are so lazy. They're so willing to be part of the PR machine and think that showing me Manny Pacquiao's workout on their YouTube channel is coverage. Guess what? It isn't. It's kind of coverage, but I could get that from Top Rank if I wanted. It wouldn't be much different. It's very frustrating.
Exactly. And you wish some of these guys would be the first one to get Al Haymon on tape rather than to see how Pacquiao's hitting the bag this weekend. Like, I know Pacquiao knows how to hit the mitts, guys. I mean, I've seen it.
Right, I've talked to Sam Watson.
We
you're not going to learn anything from Sam Watson.
Exactly. You know, we've even seen a recent right now where there's guys that are in the media, they're praising Al Haymon for fights now. You know, like, oh, thank you for this fight. It's such a great fight. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, are you serious, man? Or what you see a lot now, I see this a lot, and I just look at, I cringe and I laugh, and I say, God, this is so ridiculous. Well, you see media guys calling other fighters, this is my very good friend. This is my buddy. Oh, I'm out here seeing my friend.
Or like,
where do you draw the line?
Yeah, or what about like when you know someone's lying to you and you put it out, you put it up, and then you know it's a, you gotta know it's a lie, because I'm a fan, I don't get paid to cover the sport, but you guys, some of these guys do, and they're just reporting a lie just because Bob Arum said it. Oh, yeah, but they know the fight's gonna happen. No, it's not. You know what I mean? Oh, maybe Manny Garcia will be next. No, it won't. It's maybe Jesse Vargas.
Or what about a media guy that goes to a gym and is told, hey, don't leak this out at all. Keep it between me and you. Okay, that happens a lot. A lot. It's just, it's terrible.
I was actually,
man,
thinking about that particular thing today, and it's one of those things. I've been working on this book for it feels like too long, but there's a lot. You know, it kind of started as a very specific period. And about drug testing, and then the more I've been writing, the more I'm like, you know, I had a hell of an experience in those 6 years down there, and there's a lot of stories, like the one you just mentioned, Dave, that I put in print, and I go, do I print this? Because there was another end of that story. There was somebody that was in a certain camp that it wasn't revealed later, and this reporter held on to it, and there was more to that story that later came to my attention, and I'm like, this reporter kind of helped that happen, and it was bad. It was real bad, as bad as you can think.
It was.
And I, you know, I kind of question how many should
really
I pull
nice
any
guys.
Punches.
Right. Yeah, it sucks. The guys are
well,
really nice guys.
Then have
the
a little
time,
store.
You don't
have a
you
nice
don't
corner store or a bar. Don't,
right.
Don't be a journalist then. Be a nice guy.
Exactly. Mike, thanks
I don't
for
worry about
in,
being
brother.
A nice guy.
Mike, thanks
for
calling in, brother. Appreciate it, man.
You're like a shot of espresso. We got all angry all of a sudden.
I know. Mike just stirred it all up, man. He came on and goes, watch. He goes like, watch this. I'm gonna stir these motherfuckers up right now.
I'm all sitting up in my chair.
Yep. Oh, I know. I'm already sitting up. I'm like super now, even more close to my mic. My mic's got this scared look on its face. Fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. Let's talk boxing here on Leaving the Ring. Let's see who else can stir us up here on the show. Get us on Everybody Hates Monday rant. Area code 951. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? What's your name?
Peace. I'm just listening, fellas.
All right, brother. We'll put you back on hold, man. Appreciate
oh, no
your
worries.
Support. Area code. Let's go. Area code. Wait, we just got that one. All right, let's go with area code 111. You're on live right now and Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? You out there? Area code 111. It's an anonymous call. All right. Nope. Let's go with 714, you're on live right now. Are you out there?
What's up, guys?
What's up, brother? Who are we talking to?
Joe from the Bay Area. What's up, Gabe?
Joe from the Bay Area. What's cracking?
What's up, man?
What's not much, man. You know what? Going back to the thing that you guys brought up earlier in regards to who's going to run the December 12th show. Earlier, what's his name? Ellie Setback put out a video, I guess it was reported by ESPN Deportes, that we might be seeing Mayweather Cotto.
Cotto, yeah. I saw
you
that from ESPN, yeah.
And one thing that was very interesting in my mind was the fact of, you know, based on that report, that if that fight does not happen, you know, we might see Mayweather a week before May 2nd. That way they open up the slot for Canelo Cotto. You know, which in a way, to me, it makes, you know, that does make perfect sense, all the sense in the world. But, you know, now we're having Haymon pushed a little bit, knowing that he cannot rattle everyone's cage.
You know what, dude, to me, it's a tactic of, let's see how much the Canelo Cotto buzz is really about. I think that it was their way of trying to see if they could rattle the cage a little bit and see if the feathers are really going to fly, meaning that if the fans were really into that fight. So in my opinion, if I'm a business guy and I see that there's going to be an effect, which is Canelo Cotto. And I say this a lot of times. If that fight happens, it's going to ruffle the feathers of Mayweather and Heyman camp because they know now they're in real competition. Not before, like before they were with Manny Pacquiao, but now they got a new breed coming up saying, hey, knocking on the doors, going, now we're going to compete with you in terms of stealing numbers away. So what I think they did is go, hey, let's intrigue it by saying there's a strong possibility we can make Mayweather Cotto and see if we can start a buzz. And if you can implant that in Cotto's head, if there's enough talk about it, if there's enough fans that are pounding on the doors and say, we want to see that fight more than the Canelo Cotto, it may sway Cotto of doubting that this is a better deal with Canelo and leave that deal to try to intrigue something with Floyd Mayweather. But I don't see that happening at all. It's a nice tactic. I think it's a great little idea for them, little scheme for them to do, but I'm not going to buy into it. Gabriel, what do you think?
I'm not buying it. I mean, we'll see. You know, maybe they make the fight. Maybe it happens. But I just think, I don't know. From what I understand, Cotto Canelo is going to happen. It just seems like a lot. I mean, you have to really pay Cotto quite a bit of money to pull him away from probably what's going to be, you know, a better deal with Top Rank, where he's going to get a little more money. Top Rank usually deals fairly with him. Plus, you know, Steve always mentions this, that he's not just loyal to Top Rank, Cotto. He's loyal to Todd DeBuff. And I think he's also seen, he's already been treated, had the Mayweather treatment, had Mayweather call all the shots. And, you know, what did he do after that? You know, he kind of rebuilt his brand and became middleweight champion of the world. I mean, again, it would have to be a lot of money, much more than he's being offered with Top Rank for it to happen. So, you know, right now it's a rumor, and, you know, I just don't consider any setback a credible source, so.
Yeah. Joe, what's your pick for Saturday
he's
night,
more of
brother?
A traffic hunter.
Oh, I got packed, hopefully by knockdown by the eighth round. I'm still going to buy the card. I'm a true boxing fan, and, can't wait for it. I have something else up. Wanted to bring this up, and in regards to the pay-per-view numbers, you know, everybody's saying that they're going to generate anywhere from half to 600,000. But with Mayweather, you know, Mayweather, I mean, pound for pound, one of the best boxers, if not, you know, throughout the whole era. But when we're talking about pay-per-view, you know, when is he going to fight someone different? You know, why does he always have to go with someone that is Hispanic? You know, I mean, like, when he brought up Devin Alexander, I mean, I'm like, all right, well, we're going to see if that were to happen, which I knew highly it was not even a slight possibility. But, you know, what do you guys think in terms of pay-per-view numbers if he were to fight someone that was not Hispanic?
Well, he fought a Guerrero that is not really considered Hispanic. He's a Mexican-American, but didn't have a very strong following. The numbers weren't that great. I think he understands the geographic of that Latinos, regardless of whatever, they're going to come out and support their fighters, you know, especially from Puerto Rico or Mexico. They're always going to come through. It's a hard sell in terms of having another American across, two Americans facing each other. It's a very, very tough sell. And I think Floyd, you got to give it to him, stylistically one of the best fighters out there. He's got a good team in terms of knowing how to make certain facades and decisions to get where they're at. We can't deny that. They have had a very successful run fighting the big crowd, not the fighter, but drawing in the big crowd to give them, you know, to deepen up those pockets. So I don't see that changing. I don't see why they would even try to change something. You know, that old saying, that old cliche, you know, don't fix something that's not broken. That's pretty much, I think, that's what they're going to stick with. Gabriel, what do you think?
I think Floyd will start fighting tough challenges when fight fans make him pay for not. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. You know, like the two of, I've always said this, the two go hand in hand. You know, the consumers, it's like, you know, a lot of people like the Transformers movies. I think they're absolute garbage. And I haven't seen every second of each one, but I've seen enough of each of them to be like, this is awful. But they're a $1 billion, multi-billion dollar franchise. And
right.
People, and the reason there's four of them, I think there's four of them now. The reason there's four is because people go to this crap. Uh, I, I'll say it. You know, the Avengers kind of cool, not that great. You know, I kind of like the Hulk in it, but other than that, actually, it was the best Hulk they've done. But like, that's a pretty good movie, I guess. But you know, people don't really asking like. I'm saying like that movie got made regardless of how Transformers, you know, the quality of it. That movie was crap and made a bunch of money. Avengers, there's no incentive to make a super great film. They're doing it, luckily. But with Floyd, I kind of look at that as like Pacquiao and Mayweather. Like, Manny's making a good quality thing, but sometimes it's kind of a setup for him, but he's making good money. Mayweather is making a ton of money fighting just like, you know, predictable shit. I mean, you know that the dudes in Transformers, you know, you could probably see the beginning cast and see who's going to get killed and which guys are going to survive against all odds at the end. And that's a Mayweather fight. Like, you know who's going to win. People still buy it. You guys reward them for giving you crap. Not you, but, you know, boxing fans in general, you know, millions of people that buy his pay-per-views. Like, I kind of almost don't want to, for the most part, hear from people. If you bought the pay-per-view, like, we don't have a right to complain because the consumer, you know, they have all the power. If they don't buy it, if they don't go, you know, then especially if you know what the product is, and you go, no, this isn't something I'm going to put my money down for, then, you know, only then will he stop giving you crap. But if you keep buying the crap, then you guys get what you pay for, you know, in a sense.
Joe, thanks for calling in, brother. Appreciate it.
I don't go and cover them either. Hey, my pleasure. You know, like when I was working for Max Boxing, they didn't pay travel fees. Are you kidding me? They barely paid us. You know, and I was happy to do the work. I'm not denigrating them, but it's, you know, it's not the glamorous job that you would think. You know, I don't know why anybody would think it would be glamorous, but we had to pay our own way. We had to drive down there, and so it became a choice of what do you want to cover, what do you enjoy covering. And Floyd Mayweather, the personal life, the professional life, neither really appeal to me, so I don't go.
There you go. Fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. Let's talk boxing here on Leaving the Ring Radio. Let's go with area code 818. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Yo, Dave, Gabe, what's going on, fellas? Jose from Los Angeles.
Hey, what's up,
man?
How you doing?
How's LA?
Good, man.
How's LA's weather down there? Is it?
It's actually a little cloudy right now. Looks like it might rain for a change.
That sounds like LA. Up here, it's pounding rain. But LA, it's like, a little cold, maybe some rain, we'll see. I miss the weather, dude. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to give a quick prediction on Saturday's fight and then touch on something else also. I see Pacquiao winning a decision over Algeria. You know, I don't think Algeria's really going to be able to hang in there for all fight. You know, his stick and move style, you know, getting on the bike is going to work for the first few rounds until Pacquiao really, you know, manages to break him down with the left hand. You know, I think that eye is going to be able to swell up and help him cruise to a decision later on. And, I mean, besides that, Pacquiao's the – I'm Mexican, you know, so Pacquiao's the executioner. I don't care what anybody says. Algeria is 30 years old, still lives at home. That guy is Mexican to the bone.
Oh, man. Mom, did you hear that? Mom, did you hear that?
Food ready? Dinner ready yet?
Oh, man. And you would it would even make him even more Mexican if he grew avocados in the backyard, too. You know what I mean?
I probably steal them from the neighbor's yard.
The avocados?
Right?
Take it from the neighbor's yard.
That's great. Yep, that's so true, bro. Now I got to root for the Vato. Now I feel bad for picking against him. But anyways, what's the second thing that's on your mind, brother?
I wanted to talk about boxing's version of Weekend at Bernie's, which is, what is that? Prodnikov versus Castillo. I mean, how the hell is Castillo even supposed to win? You know, he's a corpse in there. How's he supposed to even get that fight? How's he supposed to shrink down to that, to 140, 147, whatever it is that the fight's taking place at?
Dude,
you know, that's actually
one of the first stories I ever.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like the greatest comparisons right now that I've ever heard. Weekends at Bernie's with this Prodnikov and Castillo fight. I mean, you're right. I mean, I. You know, when I saw that, I forgot what the header was with the publicist, what he sent out. And I always wonder this. I got to ask one of the publicists that I know, man. I got to ask him. When you know you got something really shitty, do you even feel dirty sending it out? You know, because when I received it and I looked at that announcement, I felt dirty, man. I was like, really, man? Like, this is what we're getting down our – it's being shoved down our throat. It's the same thing with the Ronald Hearns. When I got that, I'm like, wow. Wow, this is what we're going to have as a main event for NBC on Super Bowl weekend. This is ridiculous. But, yep, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say, man. Casual fans are going to like it when they watch it because they're going to think, wow, I remember that guy. And then he gets laid out, they, you know, and it just kind of ups Ruslan's ledge with fan, with casual fans. But for us hardcore fight fans, man, we're all just shaking our heads and saying, wow. You know, we're black, guys. Everybody wear black that night, you know?
Seriously. They should have, like, three refs just to make sure they stop it just in time.
I hope they have the common courtesy that at least the ref or the commissions, which we already know, that they don't have any goddamn soul because they're letting this fight happen, even the ring doctors. But the corners themselves, man, I hope they have some common courtesy when they see this man get hurt and they sense it, that this guy can get even more hurt, they jump in and they wave this off, you know, because I think this should be a fight that once one punch lands, I'm going to be okay if they jump in and say, forget it. We don't want to see this happen. The way we saw Marco Antonio Barrera get caught with that by Poison Jr., and his corner jumped in right away, which, you know, to this day, pissed me off that they did that. But if Castillo's camp did that, I wouldn't be upset. I would think that's the right call. Jump in before it's too late, man.
When is that? At the instructions right before the bell, first bell ring?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it should be at the weigh-in.
Look, you're terrible.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling in, bro. Appreciate the call. We can have Bernie's here, man.
It's Bernie. It's brutal. I mean, how do we let this happen? I mean, I know it's in Russia. We can't really do anything but write about it. You know, Artie Palullo at Banner Promotions, one of those cats I really connected with in my time in boxing. I really like him. I've broken bread with the man. You know, and we've been honest with each other about things in life as well as boxing. But, man, like, you can't – I read Steve's article on UCN UCN. Still, like, just listening to it and the justifications for the fight and, like, look, the Russians wanted this guy. They, you know, over there, they didn't want this other guy. And it's like, well, it's still, like, you know – it's sort of like when we had dude on the show that was promoting from that boxing show that used to be on, and we were deriding him, and he said, like, look, you know, hey, it's boxing. We had to do a show. What, are we not going to have a show? When he was matching Mercito Gesta with a guy that he had already knocked out before, and a guy that had lost his last one, I think, by knockout. And his justification was like a Nazi guard, as I put it at the time, saying he's just doing my job. You know, I'm just doing my job. You know, hey, you know, don't blame me. I'm following orders. It's just not good enough, dude. Like, how is this fight happening? But, you know, it's become the norm, man. It's been creeping in on us. And after baseball with Barry Bonds, you know, like in advanced age, not only winning the home run, you know, single season record, but setting the all-time record, like, you know, I think it was 43 when he broke that record. Bernard Hopkins, 49 years old, talking about another fight. Roy Jones, suddenly, you know, just being knockout power at 190 pounds, fighting in Russia. He's just a cruiserweight now, and we're all cool with it. Memo Heredia is just part of the scenery. He's now Roy Jones' strength and conditioning coach. And Roy doesn't have a background with being caught for performance-enhancing drugs, does he? Oh, that's right, he does. But they threw out the urine sample, and so they never really had a chance to delve deeper into that. Why are you and I, Dave, two guys that couldn't be further from the beat anymore, that we still keep in contact with our contacts, but we're not in Los Angeles, we're not in New York. Why are we the only ones bringing this up all the time? It's very strange to me. Don't be part of the landscape, media. Do your freaking job.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of puzzling. I sit there and I always wonder myself, man. But, you know, I think we just got to continue doing what we do here on the show, which is pound at that beat. And hopefully, good thing that there are people out there that do tune in and listen. Let's patch in some more fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. Let's go with area code 323. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, Gabriel. It's Matt Conrad, a.k.a. at Grundu on Twitter. I read your tweet about you want to talk about Provodnikov's fight against Castillo. So I want to say that I don't have a problem with this fight because I did a piece on Provodnikov just a couple of weeks ago. And he sent out offers to absolutely everybody. Everybody. And it's a comeback fight. He's going back to Russia to build his fan base, which totally makes sense after the loss. And he offered people $500,000 to come and fight in Russia. Who do you think wanted to take it? Nobody. They sent out offers to absolutely everyone. What's he supposed to do? I mean, what fight is he supposed to take right now? I mean, no one wants to fight him. Even people who he beats end up in hospital and are sort of not the same again for a long time. So I feel sorry for poor Ruslan. He's just trying to make it on this buck, but no one wants to step in the ring with him. What are your thoughts?
I have covered Provodnikov long before anybody else was covering him back in Los Angeles at the wild card. I know Vadim very well. I've interviewed him from Russia. Like I understand his position, but at the same time, that doesn't justify this. I think it's becoming a trend, and it's scary to me. The 40-year-old fighters, guys that have looked questionable. I mean, can you tell me that this is an okay fight? When look back to the Hatton fight, when Jose Luis Castillo got blown out by him. That's 2007, and Castillo was looking like damaged goods in that fight.
It's not Provodnikov's
sure it
fault. He's taking the fight. Yeah, well, what's he meant to do?
He can't just stop his career because no one will fight him. Well, but I'm saying, you're saying it's not his fault that he's taking the fight. Whose fault is it? I mean,
It's Castillo's fault. If Castillo wants to get in the ring and put himself at risk, I mean, look, we've all seen what happens when a fighter doesn't really fancy it. He like does the first round, like what's his name against Triple G. It was a fight the guy didn't really fancy, and after the first round he sort of dropped on his knee, and it was a disgrace. I'm not saying that, but you just can't blame Provodnikov. He's got a limited amount of time where he can earn money in his career and win belts. No one wants to fight him. He needs to build his base at home, so he takes the fight at home. And Castillo's the only one that wants to do it. Okay, if you're Provodnikov, maybe I just shouldn't fight at all until someone fights me. No, man, he's not going to sit out there and wait in the cold and just do nothing. If you know Provodnikov, you know that's right.
So he should take a dead corpse then instead, right? He should just get in with a dead corpse. I mean, does that make any sense? I don't understand that.
Would you agree that at least the regulators have some sort of say in this and some sort of blame?
Castillo won his last two fights, one of them by knockout. Look, I mean, I'm not saying that
that's easy to say, but then look at the records of the guys that he beat. Guy that was like 12-1 and 1, guy that was like 17-1.
That's always going to be the argument. I'm like, yes, the guys we thought haven't been the best. But look, man, what is your solution here? Because I want to hear your idea. If you're Vadim or if you're Ruslan, what do you do? I want to hear your game plan, because it's very easy to criticize. But if you're not a manager and if you're not a professional fighter,
get in another $100,000 and get Mauricio Herrera. Herrera actually did want the fight. He didn't want it for the money. Spend a little bit more to get a better guy. That's my solution. Another $100,000 would have probably done it.
Do you have actually knowledge that Herrera would have taken the fight for another $100,000? And he could have kept on saying, and another $100,000.
Those were two guys. They wanted to pay more for, the Russian promoters wanted to pay more for Castillo because he's a name more than Herrera. But if the promoters really wanted to avoid this, I'm sorry, but these are men fighting for money. And at some point, you have to be responsible for who you're putting in the ring and who you're putting them in the ring with. That's just the bottom line. If you don't, you don't have a soul. I understand they have to make money.
You don't have a soul. This is boxing. Are you trying to tell me that you think? How long you've been covering sport for? How long? And you're telling me that you still believe that it's all about? That's what it's about. But man, if you've ever put on a boxing event,
hang on a second. Do you want me to answer the question, or do you want to go on a rant? You asked me a question.
I've been a boxing writer for over nine years.
Hang on a second. I'm answering your question. Let me answer your question. I've been a boxing writer for 9 years. Two of those years, almost about a year and a half, I was more of a blogger. Then I got to L.A. I spent 6 hard years there, a little bit over that, really on the front lines and seeing it. And I got to really understand the game on a very tough level. Some people stay in the game a long time and they lose their soul and they just say, hey, that's boxing. And they get used to watching two men beat each other for money, or sometimes, you know, most of the time for free in the gyms. I've seen a lot of brutal wars and a lot of guys waste on the sidelines that don't get the opportunities like Ruslan Provodnikov, who I was a champion of long before anybody was talking about him. So I'm sorry, but at the same time, as you move along, I've had a lot of opportunities offered to me in this business that I passed on, money opportunities that I passed on because I have higher standards and integrity. The Margarito story, when HBO didn't want me to talk about the hand wraps, and it was a goodly sum of money to run my story. I didn't let them run the story, and I ran it on Max Boxing for my normal, you know, just salary, basically for free, because I didn't want to not talk about the hand wraps. Morality and integrity is a choice. So, yeah, it's Ruslan's choice whether or not to take a fight against a guy that's been shot for years, since at least 2007. But because this is a dirty, nasty business where most people say, hey, it's boxing, I don't have to have a soul, he's still fighting 7 years after he looked bad against Ricky Hatton. So again, yeah, I blame Ruslan. But I also blame the people that sanctioned him and giving him a boxing license without having looking at the quality of opposition. You can't tell me that the two guys that he just beat, the 12-1 and 17-3 guy, are equal to Ruslan Provodnikov. They're just bodies. They're just wins. That's his business. Yeah, I think
I'm glad that you have. First of all, you can't take your standards and impose them on someone else and expect them to be the same. If you do that, you're constantly going to be disappointed. Your standards are your standards, and you have your reasons for your life journey of why you came to them. And other people have their standards and their needs in life and what they need to do. I'm saying that. Am I excited about this particular fight? No, man, of course. I wish he was fighting someone else. I wish he was fighting a dozen other guys. But the fact is that he couldn't make it happen. Castillo is a big boy, just like Roy Jones is a big boy. Do I think it should be happening? No. But if you are good at one thing, all right, and that's presumably what Castillo is, if you're good at one thing, and that is the only way of putting food on your table, it might be a dumb decision, but at a certain point, and it's always going to be this push and pull for guys who are allegedly over the hill, at a certain point, it's difficult to step in and stop it if a guy passes a medical and has 50 knockouts on his record, and it's all a case of plausible deniability. And I think that Ruslan, comparatively compared to other people,
Let me ask you this. What are you? Are you a writer or are you his publicist? Let me ask you that.
Answer the question, brother.
I'm a
documentary filmmaker, and I've been around the sport for quite a while. Uh-huh. And I like you. I get frustrated. But I'm saying that we're always going to have these arguments. Where like people are always going to have their opinions, and as long as people stay consistent, that's one thing. But I hear a lot of people saying, "Oh yeah, Ruslan shouldn't step in with so and so because he's over the hill." But you know, like it's there's often these sort of things that are double standards, and like I think that you just have to sort of take it on a case by case basis. And I think go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I'm just kind of looking at it because Herrera also had his side that he said to a reporter I really like, Ben Jacobs, London on Twitter. And Herrera's side was that they, you know, there was this offer there, but they wanted to fight on the Hopkins-Kovalev fight card, and that was a possibility. But that Ruslan's people didn't want to do that. They wanted to do it in Russia. Again, it's kind of choice. Okay. You know,
I hear what you're saying, man. I totally hear what you're saying. But at a certain point, like Ruslan, and I can't believe I'm being accused of being Ruslan's publicist. I know it's kind of funny, but I see what you mean. But you've got to have a point of view. I think that Ruslan's been flying all over the world. He's kind of been doing nothing but doing that. And are you not entitled to have a fight in, like, on your home soil so that you can build a fan base? I mean, you've got a whole career.
I think it's great that he's going to do it. I just think Castillo, it's kind of lose-lose in a sense. You know, we expect
I asked that very question to him when I did my most recent piece on him. And hopefully you guys can you can check it out when it comes out. It should be out in the next couple of days.
Sure,
and yeah. I said, look, I'll send it to you when we're done. And I said, like, this is funny you should say that. I said this exact question. I said, are you not worried that you're going to do more damage than good by taking this fight? And he said, and, you know, because he's a boxer and he got kind of defensive. He said, look, you have to ask these guys, the other guys I made the offers to, why they're not taking the fights. You know, why did they get into the sport in the first place? And then he proceeds to list a bunch of names. And I don't know what the offers were that they made to him. But, like, it was kind of everybody. And I would love to see him step in the ring with Danny Garcia or Matisse or Brandon Rios. But they, according to him... you're right, guys. I got this feedback.
Yeah. I'm hearing that too.
I got dropped off real quick. Let me just point out my opinion stuff about Ruslan, okay? You're absolutely right. It's tough. You know, you want to fight. You want to build a fan base. He went back to Russia. He's trying to build back that fan base and stuff. But, to me, sympathy is by far one of the greatest marketing ways of having overseas and in hometown embracing, you know, getting a bigger fan base. You imagine if Ruslan would have said and been public about it, saying, look, there's nobody out there to fight me, but Jose Luis Castillo wants to step up to the plate. but I'm not going to fight him. Why? Because we all know he's over the hill. I think by that type of tactic, yeah, does it help him in terms of money? No, it doesn't. But I think it makes a stance. It makes a stance where people can follow and understand that and be sympathetic about it because he's being a merciful fighter. He's saying, this is not a good look for me to do this. I think that is a bigger story than the story that we're he's getting in with a guy that's over the hill that can possibly get hurt by Ruslan, because we know Ruslan is a big puncher and Jose Luis Castillo is no longer the guy he used to be at all. I just hate to see tragic things happen in the ring, and this could be for one of those moments, one of those nights that it's not going to be remembered as a great fight. It could be remembered as a tragic fight happening. I don't want to see that. I think it's our job.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I think that, you know, you've got to think that every time someone steps into the ring, you know, there's a terrible risk of something happening.
Absolutely.
Your point that if he had come out and said, Jose Luis Castillo wants to fight me, but I'm not going to take this fight because I'm the bigger man, that's not the way it worked. They were looking for an opponent. And they were trying to get desperately anyone who wanted to step in the ring, but no one's doing it. And the person that does do it,
but you need to tell me that nobody in the top 15 of the WBO, not one person in the top 15 would do it. That they, I mean, Castillo, I don't know where he's ranked, but he's not in the top 15.
Do you know the rankings? That's actually a really interesting, like, forensic way of looking at it. Who do you guys have the list in front of you? Who's the top 15?
Yeah, I'm looking at the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, the WBO.
Okay, so let's look at them now.
Not in the top 15 of any of them.
Let's go down the list and see, and like we'll collectively try and decide who would have taken the fight in Russia.
Victor, in Russia, that's the thing. If you want to have that hometown fight, you kind of have to pay a little extra for it. I mean, if you're trying to build something over there, I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable to say that okay, if they got to 500,000, Rizzo Herrera is like, man, I'm sorry, but you know, going to Russia, I mean, you know, everything's going to be against you. It's going to have to cost you a bit more because
that's a double standard.
Why is that a double standard?
Because by that rationale, like, Provodnikov should always be asking for $100,000 extra to fight in the States because everything's going to be against him because he's Russian. Like, I think, do you think Bradley convincingly...
I think just a fair shakeout here. I think he could do well. I mean, the California judges like him. He's got an action style. It didn't work against him against the first time in the first Herrera fight, which actually that Ruslan won. So, but they were going to do it on the East Coast. Which
I don't know, mate. I hear you, but the supposition that the judges are going to give him a fairer shake over here than Russian judges would give an American over there. I mean, Ruslan had a fight again.
Herrera's not going to have any. I don't. You're saying that Ruslan, there's no place in America where Ruslan could get a fair shake?
No, I'm saying that if you look at two of his most recent losses, they were debatable losses. And, like, you know, they could have gone the other way, and debatably he got screwed. I'm just saying that, like, it's unfair.
I thought Provodnikov won the Bradley fight. I thought that Algieri clearly, I mean, it was a tough fight, but I thought he clearly outboxed Ruslan. He just did. Ruslan did a lot of what he did in the Bradley fight, which was he had success by knocking him down and hurting him, and then he did a lot of staring and waiting around. I still think he did enough to win with Bradley. Much more. I thought he was much more active than he was in the Algeri fight.
I think that we're kind of going around in circles. But I think this is a good debate to have, and I don't think that this debate is going to be on like HBO or other things because they have to. You know, they've got to try and market their fighter. But like, yeah, it's a good debate to have, and yeah, guys, cheers for having me on. I'll send you guys a piece.
Oh,
absolutely,
my
man.
Pleasure.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think, too, with them, you know, with Provodnikov, this was my complaint with them, was that they did wait a lot, that they didn't capitalize always on being on TV. And they, you know, that year, I think, when he was in Pacquiao's camp for the first Bradley fight, where Ruslan emerged as a star, they didn't fight that often that year. And they waited around. And that's been, like, Steve's criticism and my criticism of Artie Palullo, who co-promotes him, I think, with a Russian promoter, but that they kind of wait around for the TV date. where's the in-between building fight? And I guess that's what this is. But you got to spend money to make money in this business. It's called promoting. It's not waiting around like what Steve calls TV packaging. And I think that's been the problem. Ruslan might have a better shake if they'd have built him in a region out here, if they'd have built him where there's a Russian population and fought him there often. Instead, they kind of fought him here and there and everywhere. And as the casino
goes. Yeah,
they
never built a home for him. Right. They never built a home for him.
Right. And
so
now he's kind of paying the price. They did the same thing with Dmitry Pirog. So I think there's a little bit of that, a little bit of blame there. They don't have quite the leverage they thought they did. But I hope nothing goes wrong.
And Eddie Golovkin and their people were doing, you know, and they're saying, hey, we gotta kind of jump on that wagon there and you know, try to build a fan base there. But Fight Fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598.
Great call.
Great. Thanks, man. It was a great call. I got dropped off, though, right when I was kind of trying to get into the conversation, dude. I don't know. Let's patch in one of our sponsors, Tony from Strive Apparel. He's online with us right now. What's up, Tony?
What's up, Dave? How's it going?
Doing good, brother. What's going on, man? I heard you up in San Diego right now.
Yes, sir. Can you Enrique is fighting for that WBO light flyweight title.
Right on, brother. All right, man. So let's get down. What's your prediction for Saturday fight between Manny Pacquiao and Chris Algieri?
Well, from my sources on the inside, they say Manny's looking real, real strong. So, man, I'll tell you what. If Algieri can keep Manny outside, I'm going to be honest. I'm a Pacquiao fan, 100%. And my thing is this. Manny has fast feet. No doubt about that. But honestly, he does not move his head. So if Algieri can keep him at bay with that long reach, I don't know, man. So I'm thinking Pacquiao will TKO him. But there's that slight chance that Algieri could really keep him at bay because of the fact that Manny really doesn't move his head. He moves his feet in and out, side to side, gives angles. So that, I think, will benefit his TKO. But if not, I think there might be an upset too. So I'm going to go with Manny on it.
Well, there you go, brother. You're in the books here on Leave the Ring of who you're going to pick, man. Hey, enjoy your time in San Diego, bro. Be safe out there. And wish Kenya all the luck in the world with her title fight out there in San Diego.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. Tony from Strive Apparel. If you haven't seen it, man, I posted it on my IG. You can catch up with him and purchase some Strive Apparel at the Strive Apparel clothing line.com. Or is it dot? No, it's .com. So go ahead and check it out, man. I love the hats and the shirts. I'm jocking them right now while I'm live on the air here on Leaving the Ring. Fight fans, we're almost up to the end of our tail of the show. So Gabriel Montoya is going to be pulling up the fight schedule here on Leaving the Ring. We'll go over it really quick, talk about our pick, and talk about those undercards and the other fights that are happening. There's some good fights happening in the UK that I'm kind of excited about. So if you're not going to pay for the pay-per-view, don't worry about it. There's some great fights happening Saturday. There's a lot of fights happening Saturday, day and night. Gabriel? Woo!
Hang on one second. All right. November 22nd, Saturday night, at the Venetian Casino and Resort in Macau, China, HBO pay-per-view, Manny Pacquiao versus Chris the Avocado Algieri, welterweights, 12 rounds of Pacquiao's WBO title. Jesse Vargas versus Antonio DeMarco, junior welterweights, 12 rounds. Vasyl Lomachenko versus Chan Maton Piriano Pino, featherweights, 12 rounds for Lomachenko's WBO title. Zhu Shiming versus Quan Pichit Wonsong Chai Jim, flyweights, 12 rounds. Yeah, I did that. Echo Arena, Liverpool, England, Skybox Arena. Nathan Cleverley versus Tony Ballou, rematch. Cruiserweights, 12 rounds. Scott Quigg versus Hidenori Otaki, super bantamweights, 12 rounds. James DeGale versus Marco Antonio Parabon. James DeGale looks
That's
like
a good fight.
Movie, he looks like a dude from this movie. God, now I can't remember the name of it. With Jeff Goldblum and Lawrence Fishburne. I'll think of it later. That's going to be a good fight. DeGale versus Parabon. That should be fun. George Groves versus Dennis Duglin. Another fun fight. The Mama's Boy. Callum Smith versus Nikola Shwekloka. Super middleweights. Anthony Johnson versus Michael Sprott. That's a nice little step up for him. A guy with experience. Jamie McDonald. Although, you know, I don't know. Have you had a chance to take a look at Anthony Joshua, Dave? I'm really curious what you think of
him. Oh yeah. I mean, I've been watching him. Brian is the one who's been kind of harping over him for quite some time, and Brian kind of sent over.
Brought another one, man.
Yeah, and he was like, "Dude, you got to check this guy out." Yeah, you know, I got to say this. I got to say this. You know, is Rob Riller had put out? He said, "What is, the question for the show right now is." If there was no USA TV, boxing TV, what region do you go to? And I got to tell you, the UK, they don't surprise
UK.
Me ever. But yeah, the UK always put great up fights. I mean, they mean, granted that the Pacquiao Algier is going to be a good fight, but the undercard is really like Lumenchenko. I like Lumo, but I got to tell you, I'm not one of them that's going to run to my TV to see him. But the UK know how to stack their cards. They're putting a lot of talent on there. This card is phenomenal. This card is phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? And I can't wait.
With this exception of this fight, because I mean, Anthony Joshua is a dangerous young man. He's 9-9.
Right.
You know, 9-0, 9 knockouts. Dude, I mean, you know, let me put it this way: at age 39, Michael Sprott, his last fight, he got knocked out by Cali Meehan in one round. When you're getting knocked out by Cali Meehan, who's 44 years old, my friend. Wow, you know. This is Meehan's comeback year because he's been off since 2012. He's fought three times in 2014. And, you know, Michael Sprott, he's been pretty active, actually. You know, he was in that prize fighter tournament last year, beat Brian Minto in that. But it's just one of those fights that, you know, if you got to criticize the Castillo fight, you got to look at this. The guy's 42-22
right.
with 17 knockouts. He's 39 years old, knocked out in his last fight in June. Now here he is in November, and he's facing Anthony Joshua. Yikes! He's
gonna get iced. You know what? Those are it's expected because they creep in, you know. But they're normally creeped in when nobody's really watching. You know what I'm saying? When you're trying to build up a prospect, you see those ones that are in because nobody's really paying attention because the guy's not on TV yet, you know. But this one here it's more noticeable because. People are talking about him. We are looking at him. We are looking for that future of the heavyweight division. This is a bad look, you know, and I've said this numerous times. If you're going to call a mismatch one way, you got to call them all equal. You got to treat them the exact same thing, which is it's a mismatch. And this is a terrible move by Joshua's handlers to do something like this, especially when you're going to have all eyes on him right now, especially with such a stack Saturday. You know everybody's going to be there to watch. Bad move. Terrible.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, they let him, you know, he's rested since June, but still, I mean, he got knocked down in one round by Cali Meehan. That just says it all to me. You know,
that
says
it
where you're
that
at.
Just, yeah, exactly. You know, it's about as
like,
bad
he's
as
taking the like levels, right? You know, he's probably feasting on guys below the level of Cali Meehan, and then he bends up to the level of, all right, let's see if you can take a Cali Meehan, and then we'll become like the opponent for somebody and make a little move here. Oh, he got iced in one round by a Cali Meehan. You know, now we're going to fight Anthony Joshua, who's definitely, I think, has the potential to be much more than a step up. This guy could be a champion. He's the goods, man. Nice balance. Little stiff in the upper body, like the from the chest up. Little, not as shifty as I'd like him to be, but nice hands, nice combinations. He's just everything you kind of want. And, yeah, he's an ice Michael Sprott. But, Dave, that is Jamie McDonald rounds out that card. And then, yeah, I'm not sure. Are we going to be off next week? We'll figure that out because it is Thanksgiving. But next Friday will be the big Ruslan Provodnikov card. And going to the UK once again, Chisora versus Fury, the rematch, Saunders versus Eubank Jr. It's just going to be on like Donkey Kong. And then later on, Terrence Crawford versus Ray Beltran. Boxing is alive and well coming down the stretch of 2014. Dave, that is the weekend.
And don't forget, on your Super Bowl weekend, you're going to have Ronald Hearns there as one of the main events for you to open up the NBC.
I'm very
and
excited.
You can see how him and I'm very excited here on Leaving the Ring Radio. Anyways, Fight Fans, thanks for calling in. Like always, man, we appreciate it. We'll be putting up the predictions that of callers and on tweets from the callers from Leaving the Ring and from the next round, and tweets from Leaving the Ring and from the next round on YouTube Friday night. So be sure to look for your call, your name up there. This is something that we've been doing for the past couple a couple of shows we've been doing this, you know, for Leave the Ring and the next round. Don't forget, every Monday night, you got Leave the Ring with Steve Kim. Every Tuesday, you got Tijuana Boxeo Radio. And every Thursday night, you're truly here, Leave the Ring, Dave Duenas and Gabriel Montoya. Don't drink and drive because you will spill your beer. Enjoy you guys' weekend. Good night.
Peace.